Well, good morning, church. My name is Isaac. If we haven't met, I've been on the staff team here for a little while, mainly with music and youth, and it's my privilege to be bringing us God's word this morning. So before we do that, though, how about we pray, and then we'll get into it. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to come before you this morning and we just want to come before you humbly, Lord. You have made us and you have given us everything we need, and we need you, Lord, in all areas of our life. Thank you, Lord, for being able to look at the armor that you provide us with for the battle we have now on earth. And Lord, we just ask that right now you would help us to know how to use this shield of faith. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many of you have been here the past few weeks as we've been looking at the different parts of the shield of, different parts of the armour. And I just thought it'd be helpful to give us a quick recap, just so we all are on the same page, whether you have been or not. We've had two talks and we have learned three things. The first one is we have learned what the mission is, what our mission is, which is to stand firm, which is to not move from the hope of the gospel laid out before us. We've known who our opponent is, as we read earlier. It's the evil spiritual forces in the heavenly realms, which are, they want us to turn away from God. Our battle is not against other people, it's against these spiritual forces. And we've been beginning to look at the armor. Last week we looked at righteousness, truth, and the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We have been making good headway through this passage. However, I have an illustration to help us kind of work out where we are, just in terms of what we need. And there should be a picture of a lone Roman soldier on the screen behind me. This lone Roman soldier has a name. I'm not going to say his name up front. You can ask me about him afterwards. But this Roman soldier knows the mission. He's on this hill. He knows he has to not move. He has to stand firm, as we've been hearing. This Roman soldier, he knows who his opponent is. He actually can see them coming towards him from far away. And this Roman soldier has been beginning to put on the armor, right? He's been beginning to put on the breastplate and the shoes and the belt. And the picture isn't entirely accurate, but you get the point. This Roman soldier is where we have been up to over the past few weeks, right? However, he is on this hill, and his shield is lying on the ground, right? And as he is there trying to stand firm with part of the armor on and his shield lying on the ground, he looks up, and there in the sky is a cloud of arrows so thick that it covers the sun. And it's coming toward him, it's coming toward him, it's coming toward him. Then they all land on him, and this lone Roman soldier is no more. Right? Now, a bit of a sad beginning way to begin the talk, but there's a reason for this. What was the problem with that illustration that I just mentioned? The arrows don't come in until much later. Yeah? Well, yes. But also, the shield was lying on the ground, right? He didn't pick up the shield. And part of this illustration, I didn't tell you why. I didn't tell you why. Maybe he didn't have the proper briefing and he didn't realize that it was a shield or how he was meant to use it. Maybe, though, he just looked up and he thought, wow, that's a really fast moving cloud. Wow, that's a really cool thing. Or maybe he even knew they were arrows, but he just didn't feel like picking up the shield because he thought, arrows won't hurt that much, right? I'm wearing the armor. Shield me right. No matter what reason that it was, he didn't pick up the shield and it didn't end well. He got absolutely obliterated. And the whole point of this is to help us realize that actually using our shield is very important, and there may be a few of us here in this room who aren't using it in the way that we should be. So on the next slide, I've kind of got our game plan, the three points we're planning to go through. because it is a shield of faith, we're going to be looking at what faith is, and that's why we read Romans chapter 4. Then we are going to be having another quick look at our enemy, who has been absolutely disarmed, which is an important point. And then finally, we are going to look at what using our shield actually looks like. But let's begin with faith. What is faith? We have a bit of a case study in Romans chapter 4. On the screen, I think it should be beginning verse 18. That is our key verse, the shield of what? The shield of faith, which is why we're looking at this part. But on the next slide, Romans chapter 4, verse 18, it says this. Against all hope. Against all hope. Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead. Against all hope. Here, this whole passage is actually talking about Abraham and how he had faith. And what is faith? That's what we're here to look at, right? And this is a great example of what it is. Those first three words, against all hope, pretty much meant God told Abraham something. Abraham believed it, even though it looked like there was no way it was going to happen. And for Abraham, that was becoming the father of many nations. For Abraham, God said, you're going to have heaps and heaps of children. That was one of the promises that he had. But he was 100 years old. Sarah was up there in age as well. It was, by worldly standards, impossible that they would even have a child. Yet he believed against all hope. Against all hope. Imagine, right, you're on a three-day hike. It's in the weather like this, so it's awful, it's freezing, it's cold. And in the middle of it, right, it begins to bucket down with pouring, freezing, cold rain, right? And it's raining and you're walking and you're getting drenched and it's going through the waterproof clothing that you bought from Kathmandu that, they swore it would work, but it's not, you're freezing. And you're walking and it's raining and there's no sign of the rain letting up. And then randomly, as you're walking, this person comes up towards you and they're walking from the other way and they walk up to you and they go, hey, this rain is about to stop in 30 seconds. And then they keep walking, right? If you were to believe that rando, that'd be against all hope. That's what this means, that there's no sign of this rain letting up. If you believe it, you're like, oh, all right, this rain is about to stop in 30 seconds. Oh, it's almost there now. If you were to believe that, you'd be believing against all hope. The difference, though, between that and this is that Abraham's not believing some rando who's walking past you. Abraham is believing God himself. And that even though it looked like there's no way he would have a child, even though it looks like there's no way this rain will stop, he believed because God was the one speaking. This is what faith means. Faith is hearing God's word and believing that he is trustworthy. Now, I hope this isn't new to many of you here, but I just hope this is a helpful reminder of what faith is. It's hearing God's word and believing that he is absolutely trustworthy, taking him at his word. In verse 20 to 21, we see it says this, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised, right? And it was credited to him as righteousness. This faith that Abraham had was credited to him as righteousness. In other words, Abraham was right with God, in a right relationship with God, because he believed him. And this is the kicker for us, verse 23 to 24, which links Abraham's faith to the faith that we have. Verse 23 to 24, and 25 as well, actually. It says this, the words, it was credited to him, were written not for him, for Abraham alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. For us, we don't have a promise that we're going to be the father or the mother of many nations. We do not have the promise that we're going to have many, many children, more than the stars in the sky. But our promise is, the thing that God has told us, is that we are to believe in Him who raised our Lord Jesus from the dead. We are to believe that Jesus went to the cross for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. And that is what every single one of us here is called to have faith in. Against all hope, no matter what, and to believe that God has sent Jesus to die for us and has raised Him to life so that we can be with Him forever. This is the good news of the gospel. This is what faith is. It's undeserved. It's unreal. But this is what faith is. Hearing God's word and believing that He is absolutely trustworthy. So, that's a quick recap on what faith is. But let's move on to our next point. Our disarmed enemy. Before we look at the shield and how faith acts like a shield, we actually have to look at our opponent again briefly, because in our key verse in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us to take up the shield of faith. But not only that, it tells us to use it so that we can protect ourselves from the flaming arrows of the evil one. So, the evil one is our enemy. What is his aim, is my question here. What is the enemy's aim? Throughout the Bible, we see his aim is to separate us from God. His aim is to bring us under God's righteous judgment, to bring us under God's condemnation. This is pretty obvious in the garden when he tells Eve a lie so that they can be separated from God. This is pretty clear in the book of Job as well, when the devil gets permission from God to throw all these sufferings at Job so that Job will give up on God and turn away from Him and believe he's not trustworthy. But this is his aim, right? To separate us from our God. The next question I have, though, is if this is his aim, what is his most effective weapon? If his aim is to separate us from God forever, what is his most effective weapon against us? And we're going to go to Colossians chapter 2, because there's a bit of a hint there. I hope this passage is familiar to you, because Jack mentioned it a few weeks back, but it's such an unreal passage. From verse 13, I will read Colossians chapter 2. It says this: When you were dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us of all of our sins. And this is the bit where we get the clue. Having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. God disarmed the powers and the authorities. That is the way that Paul refers to our enemy in Ephesians chapter 6. This refers to those evil spiritual beings, including the evil one. God, here it says God has taken away their most effective weapon by the cross. What is it? It's in the verse right before him, verse 14. God cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, nailing it to the cross. This charge of legal indebtedness is like a really helpful way to think about it. Is all the sins you have ever committed, all the sins I have ever committed, all the ways we've turned away from God and treated Him awfully and not put Him in His rightful place in our lives as number one. There's a huge list which stands against us and condemns us, which threatens to separate us from God forever. Right? And here it says God nailed it to the cross. The evil one's biggest weapon against all of us, I've heard it put, is like this. His biggest weapon is our unforgiven sin. That is the thing that can separate us from God forever. But it is no more. The devil is called the accuser, as many of you will know. In Revelation, we see he accuses God's people before God, which pretty much he comes to God and accuses us of the sins we have chosen to do in the hopes that God will say, you know what, you're right, I have to actually put an end to them. But the awesome thing here is God has taken away this power that the enemy has. And more than that, that Jesus is actually, as we hear as well, interceding for us at God's right hand, so that every accusation that the devil ever throws at us, Jesus responds by saying, yes, that is true, but hey, I've paid for it. It's been nailed to the cross. All right. This is really good news. To go back to that picture of the Roman soldier standing by himself on the hillside, it's pretty much like he's there, right? And there's a huge cavalry and an infantry, hundreds and thousands of them, coming towards him from across the valley. It looks like there's no hope, and a huge meteor just comes out of nowhere, and boom, they're all gone, right? Once again, a stupid picture, but it's kind of what's happened at the cross, right? Their main weapon, which we needed to be worried about, is completely gone. The enemy has been disarmed. So if this main weapon has been taken away, we're back at the shield and we're back at the arrows. What are the arrows, and how do we use the shield? And this is how we're going to end the talk this morning. So let's look at our key verse once more. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. I'll just read it out one more time. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So, the arrows. What are the arrows? Well, to put it simply, the arrows represent the enemy's last effort to get us to turn away from God. He no longer has the main weapon of unforgiven sin, but the arrows kind of represent everything else. These can come in the form of suffering, temptations, sickness. It can also come in the form of security and promise of comfortability, wealth. But ultimately, every single one of these arrows is a lie. At the root, they're all a lie. A carefully crafted lie to get us actually to turn away from God and to believe that his way is not the way to go. The lie in the first garden was, God isn't trustworthy. He's holding back good things from you. The lie for Job was, God isn't trustworthy. He's not fair. Like, you can't trust him. Just turn away from him. Give up. And there are many more lies that come up against us all the time. We heard a few in the kids' talk as well, but every single one of them, the baseline is, God is not trustworthy. Do this instead. God is not trustworthy. God is holding back good things from you. You shouldn't trust God. It's not worth it. Listen to yourself. And the good news is that we have a shield. One answer for every arrow that comes our way. This is how faith is a shield, is because all of the arrows that come toward us are lies trying to tell us that God is not trustworthy. And what is the shield that we have? Well, it's hearing God's word and believing what? That he's trustworthy. Which means if we are doing that constantly, every day, if we're hearing his word, if we're believing that he's trustworthy, these arrows will fall off the shield we're holding up. They will come in one ear and go out the other, because we know that no matter what God says, whether it feels like it or not, we can trust him. So let's make this real, right? What does it actually mean for each of us here to pick up this shield in our everyday walk with him? With God. I'm aware for everyone in this room, like, so many things fill our time, so many things fill our attention throughout the week, whether it's raising a family, whether it's work, whether it's, you know, everything else is on the top of that. It's hard relationships, people being really hard at work, horrible sicknesses that are affecting you or close ones that you love. Like, there's heaps of things that, for good reason, take up our time and our attention. But one of the things is that there are so many arrows that can come toward us in places like this that we might not even be aware of. These lies that want us to believe that God is not trustworthy. For example, one of the lies may be, take it easy. You know, Jesus is important, but you don't have to think about him right now. You've got heaps going on in your life. Come to him later. Or you've been working so hard. You just deserve a bit of a break, right? You just deserve a bit of a break. Or if you can't even do this right, why would you bother coming to Jesus in the first place? Right? There's a whole range of lies and half-truths because, you know, you have been working hard and do you deserve a break? Well, yes, but not if your break is going to be something that leads you to sin. Yes, God cares about your sin, but the answer is actually always there in the shield. We need to know how to put on this shield when these lies come so that we can live in the way that God wants us to. With these lies actively being shot at us every day, we need to know how to actively use our shield. So what is it? How do we do it? Well, I could end like this. I could say, well, faith is hearing God's word and believing that he's trustworthy. So let's go read our Bible and let's pray. Sound good? Let's wrap it up. But I don't want to do that because I think we miss some of the gravity of what it means to put the shield on every day. This is how we pick up the shield. It is, we just have to have faith. We have to hear God's word and believe that he's trustworthy. But I kind of wanted to give an everyday example of what this might look like practically in our own lives, right? So there should be kind of 2 points on the screen behind me. The first one is hear God's word, right? We have to hear God's word every day. So for example, if I use that verse from Romans that we were reading earlier, Romans chapter 4, verse 25, where it says Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins, and he was raised to life for our justification. Let's just picture I've woken up in the morning, I've opened up the Bible, and that's the verse that I've read. I have done the first part. I have heard God's word. That's great. That's awesome. That's really good. But it's not called the shield of hearing. It's not even called the shield of truth. Right? It's called the shield of faith. So that's the first thing, right? I have read this verse about Jesus being delivered over to death for my sin and him being raised to life for my justification. But you have to do the next bit. And I've kind of put a really simple sort of method on the screen behind me. But after I've read that, I would then try to come to God and I would pray like this. I would say, dear God, you have said that Jesus was delivered over to death for my sin. Father, you have said that you've raised him to life so I can be right with you. I believe it. Thank you so much for this amazing truth. It means I can have a hope with you forever. And please help me to continue believing this throughout the day, throughout the rest of my life. Right? That's a picture of what it means to put on the shield of faith, to hear God's word and to believe that he's utterly trustworthy. To hear God's word, believe that he's trustworthy. And that's a practical way to do this. And it's probably worth mentioning here, reading your Bible every day is not just a good habit. It's actually preparing you for warfare, right? To stand firm throughout the week. Coming to church every weekend, where we read the Bible, where we pray. What are we trying to do as a community? We're trying to put on this shield of faith together so that we don't move from the hope of the gospel throughout our whole lives. That's what we're trying to do. That's why we have so many groups that meet and read God's word throughout the week, is because we're trying to help each other put on this shield to cover these arrows that fly from every which way. Following Jesus is not passive, it's actually active. And if you believe it is, that might be one of the lies you can find your way. To actively come to God every day and say, you have said this, I believe this, thank you, help me. It's a really helpful way to put on the shoe. So there's probably three types of people in this room. The first one is you've been hearing this and you've been convicted. You've heard this and been like, yeah, man, like I haven't been using the shield as I ought. I really need to be trying to do this. And if that's you, my really simple encouragement is to begin to put it on. Take a mental note about when and how you would choose to do this, but make sure you're hearing God's word and you are believing that he's absolutely trustworthy. The next type of person, you're hopefully already can be convinced, right? You've hopefully been putting on the shield for many, many years, and you know what it's like to put it on. You know what arrows are planning to come your way. You are aware of the warfare that happens out there every day. And my encouragement to you is simply just to keep putting on the shield every day. This is the objective of standing firm is what we have right until Jesus comes back. So keep putting it on. But also, you know how hard it is to use the shield. You know how many arrows come at you every day. And there's hopefully the last slide should have a bit of a kickstart. I hope you guys are familiar with from Jack's talk a few weeks ago. When Paul is talking about the shield of faith, he's not talking about a small shield that says to just protect yourself. He has in mind these Roman shields that were designed for groups of Roman soldiers to use together. And they would not just protect themselves, but they would protect each other from all the arrows that would come from the top, from the front, from the sides. That's actually a picture of us here. That's actually a picture of church now. All I'm trying to say is this. If you are a Christian who has been using this shield for a long, long time, I'd also really love for you to prayerfully think about how you can help others to use their shield. How you can help others hear God's word and trust that he is faithful. Because that is what we're called to do. We're called to use the shield together. And to go back to the first type of person, if you are convicted about this as well, and you're not involved in a Bible study throughout the week, if you are feeling convicted and you're not in the Word every day, like, join other people who are trying to do the same thing, because we aren't called into this alone. We're not called into this to fight by ourselves. And the third type of person, the third type of person in this room, you probably just aren't convinced of anything, I'm really saying at this point. And that's okay, but I will end with this reminder, which is the truth for everyone in this room and everyone in this world, is that we deserve to be separated from God, our Creator, forever. But God has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our place, in your place. And Jesus is alive now, calling you, calling all of us to have faith and continue to have faith in him. So let's not be that lone Roman soldier standing on a hill with the shield lying on the ground as the arrows fall on him. Let's be the church of the Lord Jesus, together holding our shields high until he returns. Let's finish off with a word of prayer. Hey, let's pray. Dear Lord God, our Father in heaven, thank you for the gospel, Lord, that our unforgiven sin has been nailed to that cross, and Lord, now we can come to you boldly, knowing that it's completely forgiven. Thank you, Lord, that while we wait for you to return, You have given us everything we need to be protected, to stand firm right until the Lord Jesus returns. Lord, we ask for help from you, that you'll help every person in this room and also those who weren't able to make it this morning. Lord, please help us to use our shield of faith every day and to help each other use it. Lord God, please help us to hear your word and to believe that you are trustworthy. Lord God, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.